us think about that a little bit as we continue in this whole idea. And Peter's challenging this church that is being persecuted to stand firm. It's hard, isn't it, sometimes to stand firm in our times of trouble. And we began with the great epistle that he's challenging the pilgrims that are dispersed all over the known world, and he's challenging them, hey, to keep your eye, to know that God, you're chosen of God, that you're saved by the blood, and that you're powered by the Spirit. And he goes on, and last week we talked about how the heavenly inheritance that we have that was undefiled, uncorrupted, unfading, and how it's set apart in the heaven for us. And so it can never fade, never corrupt. That's something to think about, isn't it? I challenged and said, what else in this world do you have that's like that? Your most treasured possessions will be corrupted, will fade, and yet our heavenly inheritance will not. And so he goes on with this idea, and he's going to connect two things today that we don't normally connect, and that is a joy and suffering. If I had a line and I said, okay, hypothetically, we're going to have the suffering line's going to be over here and everybody line up, the whole church get up, this line's suffering, this line's joy. Which one are you going to get in? You're going to be in the joy line, right? I don't want anything to do with that. But the truth of the matter is, life is full of suffering. And we'll see why. And hopefully that as we go through this, we're going to deal with evil. How many of us have come up against this question? Well, if God is so good, how is there evil in the world? How many times have we heard that? And how many times do our universities trash our kids and mess them up with this kind of thinking? And I hope that we will see this come out in this lesson today, that you will understand evil and you'll understand the goodness of God a little better anyway. Students or professors, but we'll hopefully learn it a little better from God's Word. But I want us to see that Peter, think about Peter and his understanding and what he had went through and how he had been one of Jesus' apostles and how he had been that mouthpiece of the group and how he had been in the inner circle and he had seen all these things and he realized that at Jesus' greatest contribution to mankind was also his greatest place of suffering. Was it not? If it wasn't for Calvary, we wouldn't even be here. We'd be wasting our time. This morning, might as well go out here on the river and enjoy it. But because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have this hope beyond this world. We have something that goes beyond the here and now, beyond the suffering. And so Peter, if you remember, he denied Jesus, and he was the one that said, I'll never do it. I'll never do it, Lord. And Jesus said, hey, before the cock crows, tonight you'll deny me. And he did, and he failed desperately. But don't forget John 21, when they're on the beach, that I'm going fishing, and he looks, and there's Jesus on the beach, and John said, it's the Lord. Peter jumps in and goes swimming, and see Peter getting over to the Lord. And he stands before the Lord, and what the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Well, he said, you know, yes, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. And he says it again, Peter, do you love me, Lord? You know everything. You knew my heart. You knew what was going on. You know if I love you or not. He said, feed my sheep. And before the end of that passage, you know what he tells Peter? You'll not deny me again, buddy. In fact, you're going to give your life for me. You're going to give your life for the gospel. He said, one day they're going to take you and they're going to take you to places that you don't want to go, Peter, for my name's sake. You won't deny me again. You'll give your life for me. This is the man that God uses to pen this great letter to us. Joy of the suffering saints. And he's going to teach us today in this course. We're going to see that suffering we can suffer successfully under the Lord, and it's a part of our life. Let's examine the foundations that we need to have in our lives when we face suffering, and to understand the joy that we can have in the midst of these things that come to us. First, foremost, joy in our hope of salvation. And we know this in verse 6a. Now, let's read the scripture first. I'm a little excited. Let's take God's word in our hand and we'll look at 1 Peter 6 through 9. Let's stand and reverence God to read him God's word. 1 Peter 6, verse 1, verses 6 through 9. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of joy or glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray for just a few moments, God, that you'll show us what it is you'd have us to learn from this today. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. So how is it that we can find joy in the midst of our suffering? First, I want us to see, rejoice in our hope of salvation. And we look back 6:8 when it says, in this you greatly rejoice. What is it that we're greatly rejoicing in, Peter? What is it that Peter's saying? And that's that heavenly inheritance that he talked about. That we are blessed through the God and Father that he has begotten us. We're born again to what? To a living hope, he's saying. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And not only that, but it's kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. He says, in this hope that you have, do you have hope in salvation today? He said, in this greatly rejoice. Find we have this deep joy in the Christian life that does not stem on our circumstances or our chance happenings. Life can come at us 100 miles an hour, can it not? We can be caught off guard by so many things, but do you understand that God is never caught off guard? He saves us and gives us purpose. We're no longer hopeless, or we're hopeful because we've learned that we have something that is eternal. Something that's not temporal, that fades. Something that not, you know, this old body, it's amazing, ain't it? You get gray hairs, wrinkles, and stuff starts drooping from gravity, okay? It's amazing. It teaches us that that's part of life. The decay that goes on, but there's something that doesn't decay. There's something that doesn't droop, that doesn't fade with time. That's our salvation in Christ, this inheritance that we have that we're going to. And he's saying, listen, you're going to suffer. Do you understand? We're going to have suffering that comes in our life. Death, sickness, you name it. Kids, it can break your heart. It comes in our life, but we have something that goes far beyond just the temporal and the hardships and the suffering. We have this eternal hope. And he says, in this, if heaven is our final destination, then we should greatly rejoice. It should be a woo time. I liked what Cindy said about, hey, it was so exciting. Man, when we had vacation Bible school, I promise you, it's going to be exciting. Did anybody hear that? Why is that? Because I am going to be excited. Why? I have the opportunity and the privilege as a pastor to pour into the whole group of kids. That a woman that can stand, we won't say how old you are, I've seen it, okay? But she can stand up here later on in life. She's really young, okay? You've got to be careful. But 8 years old, it made a difference, Cindy. It made a difference at 8 years old. How priceless is that? And she can recall these things, and we get to be a part of that. Friday morning, we had a men's prayer breakfast here. We're going to have that. If you can be a part of that, come out. But this past Friday morning, 11 men met here, and of course we ate breakfast together, because that's what Baptists do. But then you know what we did? We prayed. And I can't tell you the preciousness of that moment. When it wasn't, and we were not just praying about physical needs and all these things, but we were praying about God things. Only God. God, do something that only you can do. Something so large that nobody, no person can get the credit, but something only you can do. And God, I'm going to tell you, there's power in praying men. What an awesome privilege. And so we greatly rejoice because we have something outside of ourselves that cannot be destroyed. That's not going to fade with time. That's not going to get gray and get old. It's our eternal inheritance. It says rejoice in that hope of salvation. When we follow Christ, we should be the most optimistic people. Should we not? If your default is a cynical pessimist, you better get your focus right. Because when I have Jesus, everything's looking better. Good. good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good gets better and your better gets best. Woo! And in Jesus, it's the very best. And so we work. We work. We should be the most optimistic people. And not let our suffering, not let the hardships, not let any of these things take our focus off our eternal inheritance. Next, that's rejoice in our hope of salvation, but also rejoice in our sufferings. Verses 6b through 7, look what it says. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, our joy is not conditioned on circumstances, but it's connected to a person. Not relationships, not money, not the weather, not your golf score. Okay, I have to make it even. Not the big buck that you're after. Come on. Whatever it is that we find joy in, it's not connected to that or happiness. It stems on situation, but joy is connected to a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. And that can never change. Something that trumps everything else is that joy that we find in Christ. He says, though now, we will learn from God's perspective on suffering in the Scriptures if we find it. Friedrich Nietzsche was an atheist, a godless philosopher that I had the privilege to get to study and learn all these guys and how it's a tremendous toolbox because you know what the world, how it's influenced by these things. And so Friedrich Nietzsche said this, man can endure anything if he learns life has meaning. Listen to that. This is an atheistic philosopher. Man can endure anything if he learns life has meaning. Listen, Frederick, it does. His name's Jesus. And so the meaning that you're trying to find, which he could not in the world, he can be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you looking for that today? It's found in Jesus. You say, how can you be so excited about that? Because I looked myself elsewhere. I've tried the things of the world. There's no meaning. It's hopeless. Oh, it dangles a carrot in front of your nose and you just run after it. You never catch the carrot. Why? It's not based on truth. Whatever's dangling in front of you that you're trying to get to, you'll never find the purpose and the peace that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ through that carrot. Find it in Christ. Man can endure anything if he learns life has meaning. And it does. It's a person. It's called Christ. And he's called us and he saved us for a purpose. And that's to make a difference. What can we learn from our suffering? We'll look through the Scripture. It says we only suffer for a little while. It says that. Though now for a little while. So he's comparing life to eternity. Do you understand how life is short? It's short. I don't care how old you are here today. You could stand and testify that it's went quickly. It's went quickly. Only for a short time. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17, Paul is encouraging the church at Corinth, and he says this, we do not lose heart. Though the outward man is wasting away, our inward man is renewed day by day. Paul said, the outward man's wasting away, but there's something inside that's not. It's renewed day by day. And he goes on to tell him this, for our light affliction, which is but a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. He said, this life is short. It's only for a moment. James calls it a breath that we're here. But listen, it makes an eternal significance when we choose eternity in Christ. You want to have a fulfilled life, I don't care how old you are, don't care how young you are, if you can understand these words, you can have purpose and you can have meaning and you can have a fulfilled life in Christ. He came for everybody. Romans 8:18, Paul would tell them, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul said, this suffering, believe me, he got beat. He lists off in Corinthians how many times he got beat, stoned, shipwrecked. He said he bore in his body. He had scar. Hey, I remember that's where the stone hit me. And he had all these marks that he could say, but he could say none of that compares with the glorious riches that we have in Christ Jesus that one day will be with him. So of the suffering, if you can, we can learn from this. We'll learn that suffering not only for a little while, but nextly, that's a good word. Nextly, we all must suffer. Next. He says, if need be, you. Who is the you that he's talking about there in that scripture? It's everybody. Listen, you think, and you'll look at somebody and you'll think, how in the world do they got it so made and all this is going on? You don't know their life, my friend. We all put on a great mask when we come to church on Sunday and everything looks like it's going fine and your life could be falling apart. We all suffer. And each person in here can get up and testify about something that they're going through right now. And this should be the place that you can. And don't have to worry about it being on social media or somebody's talking about it. This should be the place that we come and we take our mask off and say, this is what's going on in my life. Pray with me. Help me. Because we're all suffering. Don't be surprised when it happens to everybody. Don't be shocked. Why? The church Peter is writing to is suffering. They're going through persecution, and he's writing to them and saying, rejoice in it. Why? Thirdly, we all suffer differently, have been grieved by various trials. Our Jesus has experienced everything for us. There's nothing that you can't go through that Christ can't relate to, but not all of us have went through the same suffering. There's some things that we don't understand or some things that we are challenged with and suffer that others don't ever understand. We have different suffering, and by design, we get a biblical perspective when we understand that God works our suffering out to His glory. You understand that? He works our suffering out to His glory and for His glory. Peter would learn this when we talked about when he went to Jesus and he said, hey, Lord, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. He said, Peter, you're going to give your life for me. He would learn suffering. Number four, we all suffer according to the will of God. That the genuineness of your faith. Suffering has a purpose. Now this is where we start detaching and say, wait a minute, suffering has a purpose. In other words, it comes into your life with a purpose and God's working it out. Romans 8:28, for His good and your glory. Listen, for your good and His glory. Let me get that right. Too excited. Listen, but that's what he's saying. The Lord gives. Remember Job? When Job had went through and lost everything, the Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, we don't have any problem hollering, blessed be the name of the Lord when he's given, but what about when he takes away? Lamentations 3:37-38 says, who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? You know what he's saying? This is in the midst of the Babylonian captivity, by the way, and the conquering of Babylon when they came in and destroyed Jerusalem and cut open the women and killed the babies. They did all these heinous things. And you know what Jeremiah is saying? He said, listen, the Lord is using this for His glory. You say, oh, boy, I'm not seeing a lot of glory in this. We don't understand because we don't take a biblical view of these things. God is not the source of evil. Understand that. He did not create evil. He rules over it, though. Uses it for His purpose. And we say, well, give me an example. How about the cross? The Prince of Glory. The most heinous thing. Man at his worst, but God at his best. They crucified the Lord. Had a plan and a purpose. Look, he looked down through time and saw in July right here, 14th, 2019, that we'd be here worshiping Him. He uses it for His glory. So let's take just a short moment on a theodicy, and that's an understanding of God's goodness and His providence in view of the existence of evil. How do we reconcile these things? How is God good and evil if evil exists? And behind all of our suffering is a natural evil. Listen to this. The world is broken. We are all conceived in brokenness and we're citizens of this world. You are born into sin. The world is broken. So there is natural evil behind everything, but behind the natural evil is a moral evil. Genesis 3 showed us that. Humans rebelled against the holy God. God curses what? He curses the ground, he curses the devil, he curses man. The whole world was subject to frustration, is what Romans 8 tells us. The world's broken because man chose sin. Whose fault is evil? Man chose sin. God did not. God made it good. He made it complete. Man, in fact, was free until he chose sin. And then he became in the bondage. Behind all the moral evil is a tempter, Satan, a personal being. God is in control by decree. It's a permissible decree. He cannot tolerate wrong. He is good. In him is no variance of darkness whatsoever. He is light. God is light, no evil. Once here, he controls it. He allows it. Permissive sovereignty of God. He allows it to work out for his glory. He's working it all out, folks, for his glory. What we messed up, not God. Don't ever point your finger at God, point it at man. See, that's what we want to do opposite. We want to say, well, it's not my fault, it's God's fault. Wrong answer. It's our fault. It's our fault. He uses it to glorify himself. The ultimate purpose of the presence of evil, even though we don't understand it, is to glorify God. That is a biblical understanding of evil. When we get to heaven, see that. You've got a lot of people, you've got a lot of theologians that believe this. Well, they say this, they write these great big books and they say, well, we had to have a choice or we really wouldn't be free. We really wouldn't be free to choose. We had to have a choice. Listen, the problem with that is it's not about us. Never has been. It's about God. God in his sovereignty and his providence, he even takes the mess that man makes and he makes it for his glory, and he'll work it out for his glory one day. Even the suffering and the junk that we go through right now is for a purpose and a plan to make you a better vessel for him. That's what we'll see next. Look in 3. Rejoice in God's purpose in our suffering. And we'll go back to 7 and 9. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What is it? What does this suffering prove? Well, first it proves our faith is genuine. Everything was good. Everything was hitting on all cylinders. How much faith would we have? Let's be honest. It seems like it's on the mountaintops. He don't let me on the mountaintop long because I want to live up on the mountaintop, and it's in the valley. Come on. It's in the valley that we draw close to him. When I get up on the mountain, you know what I find myself doing? Just basking in what he's giving me, not him. It's in the valley that it seems like he pulls me so close to him. It proves the genuineness of our faith. Gold is tested in the crucible. It's cooked so that the dross, the impurities, are cooked off to become more pure. He's saying that's what he does through our suffering. In fact, John 15 says that's what he does through the pruning in our life so that we what? Bear more fruit. Number 2, bestows blessing and honor. May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We endure the sufferings and the pain right here that we bring honor and glory unto our Savior now in the life that we're living. We pull people to Jesus in the midst of our suffering and pain. But it don't stop there, but it prepares us to give glory and praise and glory and honor in the future. We can bring him glory now, but one day we'll bring him glory in his presence, folks. There's coming a day that you will sing his praises face to face. What a day that will be. Hey, who made up that song? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. You see, that's the reason they write those hymns. They grasp the eternal. The day is coming that we will see him and we'll glorify him face to face. And verse 4, and it gives us an inexpressible joy. Or point 4, it says, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving in the end of your faith the salvation of your souls. It's Somebody asked me, he said, what's your problem? You're crazy. You know what I said? Oh, I got eternal life. Come on. All I got's eternal life. Woo! Think about that, folks. I don't care what you're going through right now. And I know it's important. And these sufferings that we face, you've got something that cannot be taken away from you that will never, listen, that will never fade. It's incorruptible. Focus on that when you go through the hard times. And that's what Peter's telling. He said, put your focus not here. The fulfillment of our suffering is received at the end. The spirit that we have right now is just a down payment. The joy of the end times is the present. It is in the present because we have the spirit that dwells within us. We can get through anything through his strength and through his power. It draws us through life and it allows us to taste these things for his glory and his honor. Suffering will come. A lot of pastors, I won't preach about that, but that's biblical. That's what the truth of God's word says. Sufferings come, but you have one that sees you through the storms, that will never leave you or forsake you, that will work it out for his glory in your life. You can get through anything. Applications, and we'll be done, Linda, if you'll come play. Number one, get rid of your old grumpy self. Quit being a cynic. You have the Eeyore syndrome. Come on. What are you talking about?
It's my birthday. The most glorious day of the year.
Are you an Eeyore? Quit. Get rid of your old grumpy self. That's what Cindy said. Look, in her testimony, them people are usually grumpy, but if they came to Bible school, they were happy. Are you grumpy? Get rid of your old grumpy self. Quit being a cynic. Be an optimist, not a pessimist. Number two. Count your blessings, including your sufferings. Have you ever thanked God for the suffering in your life? You don't do that much, do you? You thank him when things turn out right, but what about the suffering? Do you ever say, God, thank you. Work this out for your glory. Work this out in your life for my praise unto you and your glory. Work it out. Number three, get ready for the fireworks. We just couldn't finish 4th of July. It's amazing, some of us, how many people saw fireworks 4th of July? Raise your hand. You know, it's an amazing thing about fireworks. You'll see it, and that little part of that thing will go off, and sometimes there'll be a report when it shoots them big ones, boom, and it goes off. But then there's just a little trail that's going up through there, right? And you're like, oh, I see it. And then it builds up, and then what happens? Boom. You're living in that little trail, fire trail right now, and you're headed for glory one day. And listen, I don't care how quiet you might be, or how soft-spoken, or how you can't sing. Woo! It's going to explode when you see Jesus. And get ready for the fireworks. Man, the little trails is going, but you're going to cut. One of these days it's going to be over, and your suffering and all the things that you're so caught up in is not going to mean anything. It seems so important right now. One day it won't be. Let's stand on our feet. What's God saying to you this morning? Bow your heads before the Lord. We won't be long. Like Sandy said, though, we're going to offer it one more time. Somebody know that you're lost. Somebody here that's never received Jesus. We're throwing it out again. He's waiting for you. I don't care what Satan's saying in your mind right now. If he said this, and if he's doing that and playing those games in your mind, that tells you something's working in your heart. Do you need Jesus? He's waiting. Come and find peace for your weary souls. What is it that you're carrying today? What is it that you know it? You've suffered, you've had a bad week, bad month, bad year, and you're saying, you know what? I've let it beat the mess out of me, but I want the Lord. I'm recognizing today that everything comes down a pipe, comes through your loving hand, and I'm praising you today, and I'm giving you the glory. What is it? The altar's open. We ain't going to tarry long. How about this song? People need the Lord. Who's somebody in your life that you know is lost, that you need to just say, you know what, Lord, I'm coming and I'm lifting them up right now. They need Jesus and I need to pray for them. What is God saying to your heart? He don't bring you here so you can see some crazy man get up here and shout around. He brings you here that you can hear his word and apply it to your life and take it outside these doors. What's he saying? You got just a moment to respond. Don't go home. What's he saying?
People need the Lord. When will we realize we need the Lord? Thank you.
Listen, tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be digging deeper into this. If you're still struggling with that idea of evil and God, a good God, come out, and we'll study and we'll dig deeper and we'll learn from God's Word. Not from a man's opinion, but what does God's Word say? Whatever the Lord's doing in your life, do it unto Him. Come back out, fellowship with us. We have a great time. Kids meet, it's a good time. If you've got something that you need to talk to me about spiritually, maybe you receive Christ. Sometimes people don't walk an aisle much anymore, but they receive Christ. You'll let somebody know. If you pray that prayer, Lord, I want you. You let people know because there's a process that begins that will help you through. It's called discipleship. We want to do that under the Lord. Whatever God's doing, give Him the glory. Lady closes in prayer. Sandy? T-shirts for Bible school back here. If you're a volunteer, you need your T-shirt. Great T-shirt, by the way. Also, we need this cleared out for getting ready for decoration. So if some guys will start clearing this out. Hey, we're getting ready for a great week. Be in prayer that God does something great in Vacation Bible School. Pray, Lee.